Money is one of the biggest fears women face during divorce. Leah Hadley reveals how understanding your numbers, your options, can turn financial fear into financial power.
Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life.
Welcome to this week's episode of Women Winning Divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Today, I'm joined by Leah Hadley, founder and senior wealth advisor of Intentional Divorce Solutions and CEO of Intentional Wealth Partners. Leah is an accredited financial counselor, certified divorce financial analyst, and master analyst in financial forensics. Leah combines two decades of financial services experience with personal insight from rebuilding her own life after divorce. Through Intentional Divorce Solutions, she helps women reduce emotional and financial stress, get organized, and confidently navigate the financial side of divorce while working alongside their legal team to strengthen outcomes. Today, Leah and I will be discussing how financial clarity reduces emotional stress during divorce, why collaborating with your attorney and a financial expert can save time and legal fees, and how women can rebuild confidently and create a strong financial foundation for their next chapter. Welcome, Leah.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Well, I am so happy to have you. I think we're going to have a great discussion. We got a lot on the agenda. So for our listeners, Leah, would you share a little bit about your background and what led you to focus on financial guidance, specifically for women navigating divorce?
Absolutely. So I started in a very different world. I actually have a master's degree in education. And I taught third grade in Baltimore City Public Schools. Ooh. I taught in the community college. And honestly, I got really burnt out in the classroom very, very quickly. And I had student loans and I was like, what am I gonna do? Like I don't know what's next, right? And so I took this temp job just to pay the bills at that point. And it happened to be at an investment bank as an administrative assistant in the equity research department. And when I entered the investment bank that first day, Heather, I felt like everybody around me was speaking a foreign language. I didn't really know what they were talking about. I had never taken an accounting class. I had never taken a finance class. I didn't know anything about stocks or bonds or anything, really. And honestly, I was feeling like a pretty educated person. I had a master's degree. I had tons of student loan debt to show for it. But really limited knowledge around managing my finances. Or I wouldn't even say managing my finances, because my mom was an accountant and taught me how to budget and that kind of thing. But like building wealth, like I didn't know anything about building or creating wealth, right? And there was a whole language that went along with it that I was completely unfamiliar with. And I share that story with clients quite a bit because I think when people are entering into the divorce process, it can feel very, very similar, right? There's this whole vocabulary that we're not using in everyday language. And all of a sudden you're entering this process and people are talking to you about your investment account statements and your retirement account statements and, you know, various legal terminology. And the whole thing can just be so overwhelming. And so, you know, regardless. And so even going through that experience, I actually became a publishing equity research analyst. I really developed my career in that space. When I was ready to have a family is when I became a financial advisor. So I started working with individuals and families in 2012. And one of the things that I saw, I had actually taken over a book of business from somebody, and I would see people just blowing through their assets after a divorce. And I'm like, what is going on here? And Heather, it just came down to poor planning. People were coming to agreements through the divorce process that ultimately did not support their life, right? And so they were just blowing through their assets to try to maintain whatever the standard is that they were used to, but setting themselves up for a very difficult future. And that really opened my eyes. I had a friend who's a family law attorney and started talking to me about how financial professionals can really help people in the divorce process. Then I found myself facing my own divorce. And here I was. I mean, at the point of my divorce, I had already been in the financial world for probably about 10 years at that point. Very financially savvy. And oh my goodness, the financial decisions. I had three young children at the time. Going through this divorce, trying to figure out what to do with the house. I mean, it's not like we had a tremendous amount of wealth, but everything felt so much pressure, you know, every single decision. And so it really motivated me and got me excited about being able to support people in this space specifically. Mm-hmm. It is really It is absolutely difficult. There's no question about it. But it is one of the most personal, rewarding things to be able to support people through, quite frankly, one of the most difficult periods of their life and give them that financial clarity to be able to feel confident in their future. It's just, I know for a lot of financial professionals, they're like, why do you do the divorce work?
Yeah.
It really is a special time to be able to help somebody.
And I think that's great. And you bring so much, like, your knowledge about the industry, but then personally, that can just add so much, right, to your empathy. But like, you really just get it. And then you're able to meet these women where they are and help them, you know, move through it. Now, you're clear that Intentional Divorce Solutions does not provide legal advice, but instead supports the legal process. And can you explain what that means and how you do that to better serve women?
I love that you're asking this question, because I go on a lot of podcasts and nobody has ever asked me this question before, but I think it's a really, really important one, right? I think there is a lot of misunderstanding around kind of what the divorce process looks like, what that means for you, and the kinds of people who can really support you through that process. So the divorce itself is a legal process. There's no question about that.
Right.
I am not involved in providing legal guidance and advice in any way, shape, or form. We actually support people throughout the country. And so I always tell people, especially if they're not in my neck of the woods, I need to be able to lean on your attorney for, you know, the context in which we're operating, right? Because while we definitely guide people from a financial planning perspective, we're operating within the context of the legal system, right? And so we want to make sure that we understand what the attorney's strategy is, what their thought process is, so that way we can really help inform the case, but then also help the client know what's realistic in terms of outcomes. Because the outcomes that you're going to see in a case in Florida, Heather, are going to be different from what you're going to see in a case in Cleveland, where I'm located.
Right. And, you know, how does preparing financially before meeting with an attorney really change the trajectory of a divorce process?
So it's really interesting. And one of the things that I really try to educate people about is, and it's such a simple thing, but it goes overlooked all the time, is the more organized you can enter the process, the more money you will save on the process itself. I mean, it's amazing the amount of legal fees that start to add up when you have to go back and forth and ask for the tax return. And then you didn't get this, you know, supporting documents for the tax return. And then you didn't get all the pages of this statement. And you, the back and forth with email and phone calls and whatever, it just adds such unnecessary expense and it holds up the process, right?
Right. That's what I was going to say. And the time, like, it's financial cost, emotional cost, because our clients get so, like, they're frustrated, like, one more thing, another thing, another thing. And then the time.
Absolutely.
All the things that are really important to you, right? Your money, your mental clarity, and then getting closure. It's tough.
I always encourage people, even if they're not 100% certain they want to move forward with a divorce, we have people who will reach out to us years in advance sometimes because they want to feel financially prepared to move forward with the process. And I totally get that. Even if you're not certain, going through the exercise of getting your finances in order and organized, that's good for your life, regardless of your situation, right? But if you do decide to move forward with a divorce, then it will absolutely save you exactly what you're talking about, the time, the money, just the stress of it.
Right, exactly. Now, what are some of the biggest financial blind spots women have when they first begin considering divorce in your experience?
The biggest one is that we are all very short-sighted when we're uncomfortable. That's human behavior. That is totally normal. And it can set you up for a difficult financial future if you're not careful, right? So what are some of the things that I'm talking about? A lot of times we often see, especially women who still have children at home, wanting to retain the marital home, right?
Yeah.
Now, for a lot of people, honestly, a lot of couples go into a house they can't afford as a couple, right?
Yeah.
So then when we are already maybe maxing out what we could have afforded as a couple, and then you're dividing the household and now trying to support two households on that same income, I understand wanting to be comfortable. I really do. I mean, I went through a divorce with young children, like I said. It's a different situation. I bought my house in 2007 before the market crashed. So when we went through our divorce, our house was actually underwater. So it was not like now where everybody is arguing over the equity in a home. It was like, who's going to get stuck with the house because we can't get rid of it right now, right? Very different situation. But
correct.
That said, I really truly do understand wanting that stability in a time when there's so much upheaval in your life. Totally get it. And it may set you up for many, many, many difficult years if you truly cannot afford it. And that's ultimately what you settle with, right? Mm-hmm. And so we really, really encourage people, instead of allowing these blind spots to really, you know, come out, to say, let's look at a variety of scenarios. Let's just keep an open mind, right? There are so many scenarios. I was able to work with a woman, she was in Virginia, who was so adamant there was no way she was moving out of this house. She had three kids. I get it. But we were able to get her in a situation that improved her cash flow by $1,000 a month. For a single mom with three kids. Exactly. Like, that's not a little bit.
That's your food for the, if you could be, I don't know that that'll cover all your food for a month, but it's substantial for like what you need to make it day to day. That's huge. Yeah.
And then the other big one that we see people just missing the boat on is understanding the tax implications of the decisions that they're making. And so making sure that you're getting really good, solid advice, because people talk about the cost of a divorce. Absolutely. Right. You know, a divorce can cost a lot of money. There's no question about it. But what can cost a lot more money that people don't even think about is some of these tax missteps, right? When we're having to take funds out of retirement accounts early and not doing it in a way that's a tax efficient way to do it, right? These can cost tens of thousands of dollars. And I've actually seen even more than that in some cases. So really understanding the tax implications of the settlement that you're agreeing upon is critical.
And especially, like, this is one thing, Leah, and these were, you know, the examples I have were definitely a little more complex divorces, right? But I always want to caution women when it seems like he's being so generous and agreeable, but if he handled all the finances, my gut, because, right, I'm a lawyer, I'm skeptical, is like, well, what's in it for him? Because there may be tax implications or tax benefits that he is getting from certain things that you are not, but you are entitled to. And so that's why you got to have people on your side of the table looking at it and telling you the reality. And then that is good. That's not bad. Here's at least the upside or downside, right? So that you can make the best decision.
Absolutely. And it's amazing. Some of the things that I see, and you're exactly right, Heather. And I don't know necessarily if they are always trying to manipulate the situation, but people are doing what's in their best interest, right?
Yes.
And so, and it's important as a listener, if you're sitting here listening to this, that you are also doing what is in your best interest, right?
Right. Yeah. Like, why do we discount ourselves and the women think, well, I can't have an attorney and I can't pay? Like, you need somebody looking out for your best interest, and it is in your best interest. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so a lot of times we see some of these proposals that might not be a bad proposal. It may be absolutely a reasonable proposal, but it might not be in your best interest. And so I think that's really critical for people to understand truly what are the financial implications of this, right? Like, what does this really mean for me? Am I, you know, assuming all the assets that actually have costs associated with them and all of this expense, or am I balancing that out with assets that are actually going to grow and help me build wealth and help me live the life that feels comfortable to me, right? And so that's so critical.
And, you know, you talked about the taxes, which those are things so many people don't really think about. You know, there's plenty of people, and you don't, even if you are W-2, you know, if they've messed up the dependents, like, there could be tax implications. One of the things, you know, as business owners, sometimes, right, when we've done good tax planning, we might get a refund. And this was earlier in my career, but then I noticed he kept rolling over the refund, right? And that was for both their benefit. But now that they're divorced, like, well, is she going to get part of that? Because that would have been hers. And so it's like not necessarily adverse to her, but he wasn't pointing that out. When we're like, hey, there's $50,000 there that, you know, as we move forward. And again, it just allows you to understand everything and how it will affect you.
Absolutely.
And, or, hey, you're getting a benefit here. So what are you going to give me in return? Because I'm going to make these decisions with you tax-wise. I think that happens a lot, because it can be very much in someone's best interest to save and to, you know, on taxes and how you file, and sometimes overlooked if you go through it too quickly and you're not really getting the right kind of counsel.
Yeah, and we even see people playing games, honestly, with the W-2s. Like, really? Like, they know they're going to be divorced before the end of the year, so they start increasing their withholding so that they will alone get a bigger tax. I mean, we see it all, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's why, you know, I think it's so important to have those professionals on your team, especially and I'll tell you, I mean, we get hired by CFOs, we get hired by CPAs, I mean, very financially savvy people. And it's not because they can't do this stuff, because they absolutely can.
Right.
When you're going through this process and you're trying to manage the rest of your life too, life unfortunately does not stop for you.
Doesn't.
You know, it can just be so overwhelming to have somebody else looking out for you. It's huge.
It's the objectivity, right? Like from the outside in. And I think you're right when you're in it. Now, I mean, we kind of talked about it, but why is it so important to evaluate long-term consequences instead of just focusing only on short-term outcomes?
So when you are negotiating your financial settlement in your divorce, you're talking about everything that you two have created in your lifetime is being determined how that's going to be divided. A lot of that is probably something that you have planned for your future. A lot of times, like I said before, when people are going through this process, they're so focused on the discomfort in the present that a lot of times they're willing to give up future assets, like assets that they may not benefit from today, in order to have that current comfort, right? I would say the most difficult situations that we see have to do with pensions, right? These pensions aren't liquid. You can't collect anything from it right now. But oh my goodness, in a lot of cases, and I know there are fewer and fewer pensions, but in a lot of cases, if there is a pension, that is the largest marital asset. It's very common for that to be the largest marital asset.
Yeah.
And for somebody to be really focused on, you know what, I really don't want to move out of my house. I want to stay in this space. I'm very comfortable here. To give up a pension that's going to give you income for 30 years in the future, I mean, that's huge, right? And so those are the kinds of decisions that we see people weighing all the time. And a lot of times, especially folks that might not work with us through the divorce, but maybe come to us after the fact, we'll see that they may have agreed upon something that it's like, well, you still do want to retire one day. How is that going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And having given up a lot of those assets that were designed to really support their future.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Now, okay, like we're talking about, divorce can be emotionally overwhelming. And that often spills, like you're saying, into financial decision making. How are you able and how do you work to help women reduce the emotional and financial stress so they are able to make clear empower choices?
So one of the biggest things that we start with is just getting clear, right? One of the things that I teach on, we have a book coming out in March called The Intentional Money Method. And ooh, I teach about the Intentional Money Method in our membership program. But the first pillar of that method is clarity. It's about getting clear, not just on your numbers and where you are, but what really matters to you. Like what really is going to be our driving compass through this process? What is most important? At the end of the day, the other piece of it, Heather, is you have to be able to wake up and look yourself in the mirror and feel good about who you are still, right? And this process can really be so taxing and take you to a place that you just never even thought you would go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we are really that sounding board of like, let's clear the cobwebs, let's get really focused and make sure that you know exactly what we're even talking about here, right? I can't believe how many divorces that I see where negotiations start without all the facts on the table. Well, how do you negotiate what you don't even know, right? And so we really, really harp on making sure that we are super clear on what is even being talked about here. So that way you can start to even like get clear on what are the decisions that need to be made, right? So often the women that I work with are coming to me and they just have so much circling in their minds that we're not even clear on what is the actual decision. We're not clear on the information that we need to get to a decision, right? Mm-hmm. And so we really have to work on that. I encourage people when they're in that like monkey brain to just get it all out on paper. Whatever it is, whatever is circling in your mind, like get it all out on paper, just get it out of your head. And that's going to allow you to start to see some themes. What's coming up for you? Are you worried about being able to pay the bills? Are you worried about your kids staying in their school? Like what is actually keeping you up at night? What's really stressing you out, right? The clearer we can get on that, that allows me to provide really good guidance from a financial planning perspective, right? Like if I know these are the things that are most important to you, then we can really look at from a financial perspective, how do we make sure that you're taken care of with respect to those things? And I want to be clear that sometimes that's not something that's going to be solved in this moment. A lot of times when I'm sitting there with somebody, they're really worried about income. They're worried about whether spousal support is possible. They're worried about when child support ends. I mean, these are things that are coming up, and I'm going to be that person who's going to tell you there's a million solutions to increasing your income, and it's not just reliant on your former spouse, right? And so looking at it and getting, so that's where we go beyond kind of the divorce process, right? We absolutely are supporting people in that process, but also helping them to really plan for their future, to think about what's next, and how do we work through this process and make decisions through this process in order to really plan for the future. So a lot of what we do is very visual. Run a lot of financial projections for people so they can see, like, all right, if I stay in the house, what is this going to mean for me from a budgeting perspective, right?
Right.
Give them that clarity. But I will say the thing that I find that gives people the most confidence in moving forward is just taking action and proving to themselves that they can take that action. I can't tell you how many calls I've gotten over the years, Heather, where a woman walked into a bank, nervous as could be, opened her bank account in her own name, and just called me after the fact and was so proud and so excited. Mm-hmm. And we discount that stuff, but it's huge. And acknowledging the process that somebody's, you know, taking and the progress that they're making just lifts them up and builds their confidence.
Yeah. And I think it's, and you know, there'll be times I've been in those situations too. And they, you know, it's so, it can be so liberating. And there is though a lot of emotion tied to that because I think a lot of women feel shame or embarrassed, right? And they probably express that to you too. They're like, you're educated. You're this professional. What must you think of me? Which there is no judgment. I think you're here and we're going to help you. You just got to keep taking those steps forward, right?
Right.
And it's okay because it took you however long to get here. It won't take you that long to get to the other side,
right?
And to begin to own your life and have the freedom of understanding what money you have. And like you said, you might have to work. I think we live in an amazing world right now where there's so many options. And, you know, I liked what you said about other than relying, you know, other sources of income other than relying on your ex. And, you know, from our perspective, I mean, the laws obviously dictate what we're able to achieve. But my goal is, hey, we want to get you in the best financial position possible that we can through the law. But one thing that I don't think, you know, many women really think about is we might have this great order, right? And you are getting spousal support and child support. But like, one, it probably has an end date. But even more so, what if he dies? You know, different states have different things and there may be the opportunity for life insurance, but it's really not something that's going to be automatic, that is going to guarantee that for you. And I know they don't like to think about it, right? Who wants to think about that? But it's like, it's so important to look at what you can do to create that income because life is short and life happens. Things happen.
Yeah. And it's just like if you were married, right? I mean, your spouse could become disabled, can lose their job, can obviously pass away, sickness. I mean, all kinds of things.
So many things. Like, right, we just don't know. So one, understanding like where you are is huge. And why do you think so many women are so afraid to open that up?
To open what up?
The finances and to understand because maybe they haven't been, you know, involved.
It's really interesting. I talk a lot about this. I think we are in an interesting time and space because if you look at the younger women, right, younger generation, it's a very, very different experience that they are having with money. I think money's being talked about a lot more than when I was growing up, Heather, than when you were growing up.
Yeah.
It was like, you do not talk about money. Like it is absolutely silent, off the table, no conversation, right? And so for a lot of people, and even throughout the marriage, it's very common. It is common for women to be maybe responsible for like the day-to-day budgeting and things like that and just bill paying. But a lot of times it is the spouse that then takes responsibility for the longer term financial planning, investment management, insurance decisions, things like that, right? And so if you are somebody who's like, you know, 40, 50, 60 years old, and you've never had these conversations before, it's going to feel uncomfortable. That's normal. It's going to feel uncomfortable. And I think the more that we can open up the conversation and just literally talk about these things, then those barriers start to come down and we can start to look at what are some of these stories that I'm bringing to the table that are limiting my earnings potential, as an example, right? I have a client who shared a story with me from when she was a teenager. She used to babysit in her neighborhood and she was like 13 years old and she'd been doing it for a year or something. She said to her mom that she really wanted to ask them if they would give her a raise. And what her mom communicated to her was that she should be grateful for what she was getting and that it's not appropriate to ask for more. Well, I mean, you can see how that's going to play out in your life if that's the messaging that you have internalized and truly believe that it's not okay to ask for more. And she's not alone. There are lots of people who heard that message consistently, right? There are a lot of people who were raised with religious messages around money and how money can make people evil. And again, you know, when you think about the good that money can do in the world and the impact, the positive impact, you know, you can decide if you want to hold on to that story or if you want to let that story go, right? But we can't even start to become aware of some of these stories until we start even having these conversations and recognizing that, hey, we're not all actually talking about it the same way. We're not all thinking about it the same way.
Right.
We have different experiences, right?
Absolutely. Now, you offer something called the Post-Divorce Financial Roadmap. So I'd love for you to explain what that roadmap includes and just how it helps women.
Yeah, this is something I wish more people would take advantage of, quite frankly, because it's incredibly valuable. But what we have seen in our practice is either people will come to us through the divorce and we can provide really good support, but a lot of times people will come to us 2, 3, 4 years down the road after their divorce. And it made me start to realize, like, what is happening in those years between when the divorce is final and when they're actually reaching out for help? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of it is people are exhausted by the process. And for some people, it goes on for years. I get it. Yeah. It is a tiring process. But it's also so many decisions, so many changes. It's just a lot, right?
It is.
But if people don't take the financial actions that are required in their settlement agreement, those financial actions actually become more and more complicated and difficult to implement the longer they wait. So the goal with the Post-Divorce Financial Roadmap is to sit down with somebody who has their settlement, make sure they are super clear about what their new financial situation looks like and what action steps need to be taken. You know, does this account need to be closed? Does this money need to be moved? Like, what does that all look like? So they get a clear roadmap based on whatever their final settlement was, exactly what they need to do to move forward. Most people also, as part of that process, do choose to get a little bit more support with kind of creating that post-divorce budget. Sometimes people don't like to get into budgeting, that's fine, but we encourage people to have as much clarity as they can about their financial situation moving forward. So you get a written plan and a strategy session where we're kind of walking through the specifics of your situation.
Nice, that's so important. Now, let's talk about this. Because we've warmed everybody up talking about finances, because you are also trained in financial forensics. So I would love for you to just explain for us, when are forensic skills particularly important in a divorce case and really how that plays out?
Yeah, I think having basic forensic knowledge for financial professionals is really helpful regardless. And the reason I say that is, you know, we no longer do like the big in-depth, you know, tens of hours of projects with the forensics. But what we do is tell you when you need to hire a forensic accountant, right? Or we do tell your attorney, hey, we're finding this stuff on the tax returns, but we're not seeing it in the discovery. Or we're seeing these transactions in the bank statements, but we're not seeing this account listed anywhere. Just red flags that come up.
Right.
I think it's super valuable for every financial professional to have some level of forensic knowledge because you just truly never know. And in all honesty, it's really interesting because we have lots of women who will reach out and say, I think my husband's hiding money or I think my husband's doing that. And maybe he is and maybe he isn't. But what surprises me is the number of cases where they're not suspecting anything. And then we see things come up as we're going through the financial documents. And so I think, you know, it's one of those things where having a forensic accountant on your team can be a very big investment.
Right.
And we always want to kind of weigh the pros and the cons. But in some cases, I mean, Heather, in some cases, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're not talking about small dollars. And it is well worth it to pay $30,000 to a forensic accountant if you're getting that kind of money back, right? And that's what I think is really helpful when somebody's able to work with us. We can look at, all right, this is what we're seeing. Is it worth the investment to actually go down that rabbit hole and explore and that kind of a thing? And sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't.
Right. And I think that's the key. Like, okay, there's enough here. I don't know. Like, it could be gone now. We're not sure. But like, this is what we see. And we just have to make an educated decision. And let the client know, like, it's certainly worth starting to explore usually when, because I know you can see things and patterns and it's like, all right, we ought to try to track this money down. Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about helping women become confident investors and intentional stewards of their wealth, which I love. What mindset shifts are necessary for women who may have never had control, or even if they did, they didn't really feel in control, or they didn't feel like they didn't have the confidence. You know, how do you help them with that?
This is a really big focus of our Empowered Sisterhood program, because it's just an area where women are getting very stuck, right? And they're not able to have the kind of life that they want for themselves. And it doesn't have anything to do with anything external, right? It really is internal. But we've created a really safe space for people to learn and to ask questions. And I think one of the worst things that financial services has done for people is made it so they don't feel comfortable asking the questions. If you look at like a Dave Ramsey who tears people down because they ask, quote, what maybe somebody thinks is a stupid question or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's okay to ask questions. Nobody is born knowing how to manage money. I shared my own story where I literally walk into this investment bank and I have no idea what people are talking about. And we have to normalize these things. We have to normalize the fact that it's okay not to know. There's this messaging online right now, and I think it's only getting compounded with the AI movement, that we have to do everything on our own. That we should be able to figure it out, right? No, you know, I run two businesses and I work with multiple business coaches. You know, I am on a fitness journey and I work with a personal trainer. You know, like, I'm not necessarily gonna be everything to myself, right? Like, yes, I can absolutely do my financial planning, but you better believe when I'm thinking something through, I'm bouncing that off of somebody else. I need that objective information, right? And it's true, right? And so creating a space where it is safe for people to learn, to ask questions, I think is so, so, so critical. And just to acknowledge the fact, like, it's okay, wherever you're at, whatever level of education, whatever knowledge you have about your financial situation, you can always learn more.
Absolutely. We all can. And I think it's also, not only can we always learn more, but like in where we are right now, like compared to even 10 years ago, things are just happening really quickly. Yeah. And things change at such a faster pace that if it's not in your lane, right, in your wheelhouse, it's going to be really hard, right? I've heard people say, oh, you're smart, you can figure it out. I'm like, When am I going to figure out? And am I really? Because like, I've gone through those ChatGPT, tell me this. And sometimes I'm like, I don't even understand what you're telling me, right? On something else. It's like, no, I'm going to stay in mind. And I want a person that one, I can ask a question. And then when they tell me something, I'll be like, well, I don't understand. I don't understand that answer. So help me wrap my head around it. And that is okay. That's really a sign of our intelligence, is when we are willing to ask and not feel shame. I agree. I hate that, because like, if I don't know, I don't know. You know, just like in the legal world, medical, financial, there's all these acronyms. There's all this stuff. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. What is that? Because I don't know. It makes no sense to me. Right. And that's the way we've got to support one another, to be able to ask those questions, because that can just feel very overwhelming. And that does make you think like, I'm not equipped to do this myself.
And I'll tell you, Heather, last year, my mom passed away on July 3rd. She and I were very, very close. It was a very, very hard loss for me. And on July 4th, I want to say the One Big Beautiful Bill Act passed. And that was some major tax changes, right? And as a financial planner, I can't just sit there and be like, okay, this huge act, you know, sweeping tax, and I'm just going to take a break because I got some personal stuff going on. But as an individual, you can absolutely do that. And that's why you rely on the professionals, right?
Yes.
Because I spent hours upon upon hours reading and doing webinars and making sure that I fully comprehended what this tax policy change was so I can advise my clients accordingly.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now, for a woman listening who does feel overwhelmed and unsure of her next step, what are the first two or three financial actions that you would advise she can take right now?
So what I mostly find people stress out about the most is cash flow. And so money coming in, money going out, making sure that we're going to be able to pay for our life essentially is kind of the number one thing that people stress about. So let's get clear mm-hmm. about it, right? I mean, people talk about budgeting. People hate the B word, right? We talk with our clients about creating an intentional spending plan. So they're putting thought behind where their dollars are going, but it's the same thing. It's just fancier language, right? But going through that process, even if you've never done it before, of getting super, super clear of not just how much income is coming in every month, but when is it coming in? How is it coming in, right? So we exactly know, where is the money flowing and then what's coming out, right? If your mm-hmm. spouse has been the one taking care of the bills, go back through the bank statements, go back through the credit card statements and see how much do you actually spend every month, right? Go back through your tax returns and see all the sources of income. You know, you may not necessarily see them heading your bank account, but you want to make sure you know all sources of the income. The other thing that the tax return gives us a lot of information about is all the accounts that exist. So if you have access to your statements, fantastic. You want to start to gather all of your bank statements, investment statements. I always tell people everything with a dollar sign on it. If you don't have access to all that information, I always tell people, don't stress. We'll get it.
Yeah.
We might not have it today, but we will get it, right? But really figuring out what is the major stressor for you. And mm-hmm. it's the big question for a lot of people, the big question weighing on their mind is, can I afford to stay in the marital home? Well, it's not something we have to guess at. We can look at what is the income, what are the mm-hmm. costs associated with staying in the marital home. If you're going to pay out equity, what does that look like? We can run the numbers on these things to give you the clarity, right? So that's where I was saying before, the more clear you can get on the things that are really stressing you out, then you can take the steps to get the clarity. So that way you may not like the results of that clarity. I'll be honest, right? It may not be the outcome that you want, but at least you have the clarity and you can make the decision from there.
And that, I think that's what sometimes holds all of us back, right? Because you're like, I just don't know if I'm going to like the answer. And so, maybe this is just me, but that's like, so I'm just not going to ask, right? Because then, right, it goes away, right? Like, then it just doesn't even matter. But like, because there's a part of us that's like, I'm not sure I'm going to really like that answer. I don't think it's going to be what I want. So maybe I'll just ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that doesn't ever work out for me very well.
I don't know.
Yeah, right. Like it shows up in other things and then, you know, you have to address it. But I just want for our listeners to know that is normal. And, you know, even if we have some listeners who are listening and they're like, I don't know if I want to get a divorce or not, which is fine, but do this because so much in our lives can happen. And even if you're not even thinking about divorce, I always think of all the many passwords to get into everything. And my husband and I each have our own businesses. If anything happened, I would know where to start, but there would be a lot of other stuff. I mean, I have a good understanding, but many women don't. And I get it. They're in charge of some other parts of the house, but if something happens, I think it's a great way to open the conversation. I just want to know, if something happened to you, what do I do?
Yeah. And even
and where are things located? I mean, that's a big thing you should know.
Absolutely. And I do a lot of speaking on the topic of financial abuse. And one of the things that I often talk to people about is if you're somebody who doesn't have access to any of that information, you might say to your partner, if something were to happen to you, I just want to make sure that I can still take care of myself, that the bills are getting paid, that I know what everything is. And so sometimes when you frame it like that, it's a way that that person may open up and provide a little bit more information to you.
And if they don't, at least you know, that it can be a very, I don't think that's a confrontational question. If phrased in that way, and hey, we know, we both know there are a lot of relationships and it would be taken that way. And, I'm not suggesting that it works for everybody, but at least it is a start, and that'll show you a lot, right? If they're willing to do that or not, then maybe something you weren't sure they were really hiding things, and now that is kind of a better answer. But what if they're like, sure, let's go through it all? That is great. That is going to empower you and hopefully help you know what's going on.
And the reality is, just in doing, you know, general wealth management, we see it in families every single day where somebody has a major health issue come up. There is some reason why all of a sudden they can't take care of the finances as they may have in the relationship. Mm-hmm. So just know that, like, if you're in that position and your partner is taking care of all the finances, that anything can, it's not just divorce, right? Anything can happen. That makes things shift in terms of those needs. Yeah.
And it also can be really helpful if maybe you don't pay attention to your own spending or things like that. Like, it can really help you and help your whole family by just taking a little bit of time. And I know it can be scary, but again, just like one step at a time, right?
That's right.
Well, Leah, before we go, our show is, of course, called Women Winning Divorce. I would love to know what winning at life means for you.
You know, I was thinking about this just in preparation for our conversation today. And, you know, when I was with my ex-husband, I had a big job and I did very well. And I was very unhappy, very, very, very unhappy. And I know that he never would have supported me starting my own business. That was not our dynamic and that would not have happened. And so for me, I think coming to my own after my divorce, really reconnecting to what mattered to me, having the freedom to be able to start a business, finding a new partner who is my biggest cheerleader in life. Like, to me, that's what.
And lastly, where can our listeners find you and learn more about Intentional Divorce Solutions and your resources?
Absolutely. So we have tons and tons of resources. It's a very extensive blog online at IntentionalDivorceSolutions.com. We have a podcast, Intentional Divorce Insights, where we will be having Heather on very soon.
Yay.
So lots and lots of great free resources. Please take advantage of them. We are very actively sharing all of them on Instagram as well under Intentional Divorce.
Wonderful. Well, we have reached the end of our show today. Thank you so much, Leah Hadley, for joining us and for sharing how women can approach divorce with clarity, confidence, and financial strength. Your work reminds women that financial empowerment isn't just about numbers. It's about freedom, security, and building a purposeful next chapter.
Thank you so much for having me, Heather.
Absolutely. Thank you. This was a great conversation. I appreciate your time today.
Absolutely.
Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming. But it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Don't wait. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today.